just a few weeks ago, I witnessed a miracle. My 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old niece came up to me with a pencil and a pad of paper, and in a rather thick but understandable speech, said to me, "Uncle Tom, do you want to see me write my name?" Of course I told her yes, fully expecting to see some rather fast scribble on the paper. But instead, I watched as she, with great care and concentration, held that pencil and pushed it forward on the page and formed one letter after another. Not exactly in a straight line, but there they were, N-I-C-O-L-E. It took quite a bit of time, and I focused with amazement on every move. Now, you may say, okay, it's an accomplishment, but you know, today's kids who are 4 going on 5 can often already write their names. What's the big deal about this? Well, you see, Nicole was born with Down syndrome. She had major surgery when she was 1 day old, and she was in a hospital pediatric intensive care unit for months. The doctors were not terribly optimistic in her prognosis. She had a very difficult first year of life. On her first birthday, she barely reached the weight of 11 pounds and was in the lowest percentage, the lowest 10% on the viability chart, in a category labeled failure to thrive. Don't know if she'll be able to speak. Don't know what level of cognitive function she will have. Those were the things we were hearing from the medical people at that time. But there she was a few weeks ago, running around, happy, even on the plump side now, speaking, asking me if I would like to see her write her name, and then printing those 6 letters in the right order and very readable on a piece of paper. It felt like a miracle to me. But how did this happen? It happened because she had a team, a village, if you will, not just her parents and older sister, but so many others, her grandparents, especially her grandmother, my mother, who spent untold hours teaching her and encouraging her and bringing her to speech therapy and picking her up from school when her parents are working and going through the "what color is this" and "what letter is this" drill and singing learning songs with her hundreds, hundreds of times. But that is just the start. From the day she came home from the hospital, she had an early intervention team. They helped to care for her physical needs and worked with her on early development. She attends a regular daycare where she's fully integrated with other children her age, and they challenge her to keep up. She started going to school every day when she was 2. She is the pipsqueak on the school bus. She was so small when she started school, they had to get a special seat installed in the bus. The bus driver and the bus monitor who pick her up every day are part of her village of support. She loves them, and she loves the yellow school bus. It's the highlight of her day to get on the bus. For a long time, her favorite song was "The Wheels on the Bus." You know that one? Go round and round. And she can sing all the verses from memory, even verses you didn't know existed. And she does that regularly as she rides that bus. Sometimes others join in with her. She has a team of teachers and therapists who work with her, helping her to form her words better and develop her cognitive abilities. She attends Sunday school at her church, and though she can be a bit of a challenge, the RE teachers have made sure she's included in everything. I cannot count the number of people who give her love, encouragement, and lots of practical help. Without her village, she would not be the child she is today. But the village has done more than just support her. Those villagers have recognized that although she has challenges, she has great gifts too. She is an extremely loving and caring child. And I know everyone in the village considers her a blessing in their lives. a teacher to them about what's really important. Nicole is also an extraordinarily motivated and courageous child with talents for things like music, all of which are encouraged by those who make up her village. But the village has done more than just support her. Every day they have affirmed her worth and dignity. And in her church, they may say something like, "God makes no mistakes." But to me, that means this very same thing as every child has equal inherent worth and dignity. I know it's not going to be easy for her. Some people are going to put her down, even be cruel. I know that there are going to be lots of things she may never be able to do. But she is very lucky. It certainly could have been otherwise for a child born with her challenges. We have high hopes for her, but it's still much too early to really know what her future will be. But what we do know is that she will have the best future possible because she has a village to support her. And she's not alone. So many of you are wonderful parents, grandparents, godparents, uncles, aunts. So many others of you give time to work and be with our children and youth here at church. We're all part of the village that helps to raise the children of First Parish, to affirm their dignity of worth, and to give them the tools they need to live a good life. Sometimes we fall short, but we keep trying. So many times, right here in this community, I have seen children who were struggling in some way blossom right here in our midst. Lots of children struggle. I heard just the other day that one out of 54 boys has some form of autism. We have children here with physical, emotional, behavioral, and mental health challenges that are part of this community. We don't always get it right, but we strive to fully include them in our community. And above all, we affirm their equal worth and dignity. Every one of them is a gift to us, and we have to do all we can to welcome them into this village. Sometimes people will say to me, "How do you deal with the noise from those excited and vocal kids in church?" Well, for the most part, I revel in it. Now, sure, there are times when a parent needs to take a child out because the child's behavior gets to the point where it's really disruptive of the service. But most of the time, I'm fine with a little competition. I think of the story that's told in the Christian Gospels about Jesus teaching, and he was teaching, and his disciples were trying to keep kids away from him and keep them from bothering him while he was teaching. And he told those disciples to stop that, to let the children come. See, it's more important that the children of our church feel welcome than it is that we have perfect order. If you're a parent, please think about how important this village is to your child's future. Yes, we teach wonderful and important things about theology and justice and morals and ethics and sexuality and much more. We give kids real resources which help them to handle life's challenges now and in the future. But nothing we do is more important than our affirmation of a child's worth and dignity and the acceptance of them for who they are. You know, a lot of churches don't do that. You heard those words that Lisa sang, and that's the message we preach to our children every week. Through our being together, and in our diversity, and in our oneness, we preach that. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel where your heart leads. And know we will love you still. And as that song also says, for many of us, it was a song that no one sang to us. But we sing it to our children. Parents, I know sometimes you struggle with getting kids to church. You play the "I don't want to go to church" game. I'm not a parent, so I may not be the best person to give you advice on how to meet this challenge. But it saddens me that sometimes it's so clear to me that the child or youth that probably needs our message and our support the most is the one who's not getting here regularly. Children often don't understand that they need a church village like ours. For your child to get the benefit of the village, they have to be here. If you're not comfortable with something in an RE class, if your child's not comfortable, talk with Michelle. There's a lot that she can do. If at a certain age your child would rather stay in church or sing in the adult choir, that's all fine. You know, the message and the village is everywhere here. I always find it ironic when I see the child who protests most about coming to church, running around at coffee hour, having a great time. And I'll often go up and ask him or her, how was church in RE that day for them? And almost without exception, they tell me they had a great time. I hope we create a church village for as many children as possible and as deep and loving as possible. Every one of you has a role in that. I'm so thrilled with the number of people who do not have children in the program and yet help with some aspect of religious education here. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but you know when the call for help in the nursery has gone out because our child care coordinator needed more help with all the babies? Some Sundays, 8 babies at one service. Well, several of our senior members, certainly old enough to be grandparents, some of them old enough to be great-grandparents to these children, have come forward to help. That's how a village works. But not every child has the benefit of a village. About 2 weeks ago, you probably saw, as I did on the news, the report of the conviction of Dharan Ravi for invasion of privacy and hate crimes and the actions that led up to the suicide of Tyler Clementi at Rutgers. One teenage boy is dead and another faces potential of 10 years in state's prison. And I wonder, would it have been different if the message of inherent worth and dignity had been part of the growing up of each of these boys? Would it have been different if they were raised in a village that affirmed them for who they are and taught them about respect and compassion? Was Tyler one of the ones for whom no one ever sang that song, "You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. Don't be daunted by names, rattled by games, but seek out spirit true." Did he not have the benefit of a community that lived their lives so that that was a reality for him? From what I have read, sadly, it seems that Tyler did not have that kind of affirmation and support. And what about Dharan? Was there a village in his life that, by example, taught him about respect and compassion? You know, I know that kids will be kids and they'll be immature and they'll do stupid things, but they also will respond from the place that has been nurtured within them, from what has been rooted and planted in them. This case is a tragedy on both sides. There was something missing in both of them that maybe a supportive, loving village could have provided. I believe a village like this church can help to prevent both the Tyler Clementi and the Dharan Ravi tragedies of the future. It's not easy being a child. Kids will face tough and cruel times. There will be moments of challenge for every child. We can't prevent that. We can't be there in every situation to intervene either. But what we can do and try to do is be the village for a child growing up where they again and again hear that message of acceptance, where their inherent dignity and worth is affirmed, and where they require resources that will serve them well in life. If we don't do anything else right as a church, if we can do this, if we can be that village, we will affect lives in ways that we can't imagine. Sometimes I get to talk with kids or former kids from our church that have gone on to college. And for those who have been active in our church community, our village, the message is very much along this lines. They say they bring with them the support and the teachings and the love. They reflect back on their times here. They remember their times here, and those help them and serve them well. And you know, folks, it's a two-way street. Because I also know the mentors and the teachers and the members of this congregation that have, in ways large and small, interacted with our children and youth, find that they too have learned so much from them, and their lives have been blessed by their relationship to a child in the community. I know that I'm blessed and that I learned so much from my interactions with my niece. And here at church, I find the spirit of children is often what inspires me. I know if you talk with those who teach RE or work with our youth, they will tell you that they often get out of it as much or more than they put into it. So when we adults are jaded or trapped in a narrow view of the world, when we're too busy to see the wonder in little things, when we're not hearing the music of love and life, we need to find a way to connect to the spirit of the child. As much as the child needs us, as much as we have to teach and give, we also need to learn from and be inspired by the children in our community. No matter your age, there is a child here that can lift your spirits. You see, it's not just the children. We all need the village.